Well, good. I have a sermon this morning entitled, this is Try This at Home series, and this is number 4. And it's called Promises, Problems, and Provisions. Promises, Problems, and Provisions. We've been looking at exercising ourselves in ways to shake off the dust of unbelief and cynicism that the world wants to give. Let me just say to Susan Hillis, thank you, Susan. For last week, it was excellent. It was really well done. It's a gift having you with us. We appreciate you. And Brian. Now, if we're not alert, a gentle cellophane wrapper of unbelief will settle around our hearts and minds. Because this is what the world is constantly throwing at us. Constant unbelief, constant cynicism. Because the enemy knows that your greatest inheritance comes by faith. And when you start to believe God, nothing is impossible for you. Everything becomes possible for those who believe. That's what Jesus said. And so the real fight is the fight of faith. If the enemy can get the church in unbelief, then the church gets back into works. Because faith is the antidote to works. Works stands opposed to faith. And the person who wants to enter God's rest has to do it by faith. Anyone who enters rest ceases from works. These two are diametrically opposed. So the enemy wants to get the church out of believing into unbelieving. And then when you're in a state of unbelief, he tempts you to work your way back into there, which is a losing game. No one ever except Jesus was able to accomplish that. So this issue of our faith and what the world wants to do in our hearts is settle this gentle cellophane wrapper of unbelief and cynicism around your head and heart. And what's been interesting to me, that if we're not alert, that thing takes root. And this is why we know John and Jesus came speaking this repentance message. You better take a new brain. You better change the way you're thinking, because the kingdom of God's about to come. And if you don't change, if you don't take this wrapper off, if you don't think differently, the kingdom is going to go right by you and not have an impact in your heart. And so it's amazing to me that sometimes when God speaks or acts, sometimes right in front of us, all we can hear is the crinkling sound of a cellophane-wrapped heart or mind. And I've been amazed in this last season at miracles are happening in front of people, and people are staring in wonder at the miracle that they know happened and are struggling to believe it themselves. We literally have seen in the last month people get healed, and you go, the pain is gone. But how long have you had it? Years, months. This has been, but it's gone. Yeah, I can't believe it. But your testimony is, yeah, that instantly, this years and months of pain instantly left. Yes, I can't believe it. So the next day they text, I can't believe it. Okay, at some stage you've got to stop saying, I can't believe it. At some stage you have to go, no, this is normal. This is what God does. And the problem with that is that I've noticed that people can be right in the middle of God's moving in their life, and they still don't believe what's going on. People not responding to God's invitation to huge blessing. People sluggish and with strange responses to God's glory. God's moving among us, and they go, yeah, I'm not so sure, I don't think. Go, why did you not dive off your chair right into the center of what God was doing and embrace it with all your heart? Well, if we're not careful, this cynicism can settle into our hearts. And that's what Hebrews says, be careful that none of you have a sinful, unbelieving heart, because that turns away from the living God. So this cellophane is held fast to our hearts with very real strings of hurt or disappointment or discouragement. And it has little bows of distinct disappointments that we remember, the habits of long battles. Sometimes it's even got handwritten cards from unwise but otherwise legitimate authorities with words of hopelessness or limit or bad theology. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? But there's great news. There's really astoundingly good news today in this church. Because the Lord is unwrapping hearts, and he's about to break through in profound ways. This is the good news. The Holy Spirit has come to unwrap hearts and minds, and he's declared war on unbelief. Not on you, but on unbelief. Because unbelief has held his people far too long. And I believe that anybody in the place today who is willing to say, Holy Spirit, work with me, he's going to take that off us. I want the scriptural epitaph that Barnabas had. He was a person full of the Holy Spirit and full of faith. What is it like to be full of faith? Can you imagine what that feels like? There's a person full of faith. Somebody goes, I got a problem. You go, come here. What seems to be the problem? Full of faith. What does a person full of faith sound like when God speaks? What does a person full of faith do when God starts to move? I want to be like that. I want us to be a church like that. And you can have that today. Because God is not a respecter of persons. He's like, oh, well, Barnabas. I'm going to do it for Barnabas because he's special. No, the Bible says God's not a respecter of persons. If he did it for one person, it's available. That's the whisper of the scriptures. It's available for you. Do you want to be that person? Yes, I do. I really do. So we're dedicating to presenting our hearts and our minds to our Father so that we can believe what he says and understand when he moves. So in this series, it's been about equipping us with practical things to do that so that we'll present our hearts as a good soil for maximum harvest. Now, we've been kind of looking at Israel's exodus coming out of Egypt and the ensuing story that the examples and the lessons that Paul says in Corinthians 10 were written down as examples for us. And if I can help you today, this is my goal. I want to help you see three things in a different light. I want you to help. I kind of want to equip you to see certain things, promises, problems, and provisions in a different light. And if you see them, I think like I'm going to explain, that'll help you tremendously. Let's look at the first one. Number one, I want you to change your view on promises, and I want you to see that promises are currency. Promises are a currency. A promissory note is sometimes referred as a note that's payable, is a legal instrument, more particularly a financial instrument or a debt instrument, in which one party, the maker or issuer, promises in writing to pay a determinate sum of money to the other, either at a fixed or determinable future time or on demand of the payee under specific terms. Basically, you go, well, I'm not sure what Wikipedia is talking about. This is what they're talking about. This little picture, and you'll find it on every note that comes from the treasury. It says, this note is legal tender for all debts, public and private. That is a promissory note in its simplest form. It says, that's a $20 bill. It says, if you present this little piece of paper, we'll give you $20 worth of product at worldwide, pretty much. If you bring this, certainly all over the United States, but pretty much worldwide, if you take out dollars, they'll, yeah, sign me up, sure. You may even get more than $20 worth if you go to another country. Like, that's what I want to give you. Now, what you have to understand is when God makes a promise to you, a promise from God is a currency in your hand. But if you don't understand that, it just feels like a piece of paper. So sometimes when God comes into our lives and we have these moments where God speaks a promise to us, I want you to understand that's like he wrote you a check. That is a promissory note. And you can take the promise and you can use it in the heavens. You can use it in the kingdom. And you can go out there and say, this is mine and I'm asking for resources on the basis of this promissory note. See, all of creation understands that creation was created by the word of God. We are reborn, the Bible says, by the living and enduring Word of God. The Word of God is alive and active. It penetrates, it divides, it judges, it acquits, it condemns. It is a powerful force in the universe. And all creation, all angelic beings, every spirit being understands that there is no power greater than the Word of God. And so when God speaks a promise, it's a very big deal. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. There's something of an eternal weight to the words of Jesus Christ. And when he speaks them into your life, they are to be treasured and they're to be used and they're to be managed just like your finances. And so if you will begin to see God's promises to you as currency, I think it'll change your attitude to the way you work with his promises. Some people, when you ask them, what has the Lord said to you? What are the promises of God? They're very sluggish. They don't know. When we ran Dave Ramsey's course here, some years back, we took most of the church, most of the families in the church took the Dave Ramsey course. And after just being attentive to our finances, the average savings on a monthly basis was $600. That was in our church. Because we asked people, roughly how much money has working this plan saved you on a monthly basis? Just because people were focused on their finances, where they're spending their money, average in our church was $600 a month, which is pretty sweet. Suddenly you're paying attention to it. Suddenly there's more money. It's the same with the promises of God. If you begin to treasure them, if you begin to treat promises like currency, you begin to start working that, focusing on it, you'll start to see you get a lot more bang for your buck. Suddenly things start to move and to change. And when God makes a promise to you, he's not teasing or playing a game. When God promises you something, he gave you a currency in the kingdom. So when you arrive in the courts of heaven, and the angel says, who are you? And by what authority do you come? Or how come you think you could pray that prayer? Let me tell you why. Because Father said, this is who I am. Father said, I'm called to be this. And in order for me to be this, I need this amount of requisition. I need this much provision. On the basis of this promise, I'm requiring this provision. I'm putting a draw. My promise is a currency from God. And if you'll begin to see the promise as a currency from God, you'll begin to experience heaven starts to stand to attention and begin to release to you what the promise has brought. And we looked at Exodus 3 when God finally came and said after 400 years of slavery of his people, he goes to Moses and he says, go and assemble the people of Israel and the elders of Israel and say to them, God had made a promise to Abraham 430 years previously. And now he says to Moses, I have promised to bring you up out of your misery in Egypt into the land, a land flowing with milk and honey. God said, God remembered a promise he made 430 years ago in human, it was yesterday to God, but 430 years. And God said to Moses, listen, I made a promise to Abraham, that I'm going to take his descendants and I'll put them in a land flowing of milk and honey. Now I want you to go and tell the elders the time has come. Remember that promise? Yeah, it's now. And in God's mind, that settled it. I made a promise, I'm executing it. When you have young kids, you go, we're going away on vacation. Are we going to Disney World? And they go, oh, but it's still 3 months, to go. And then they wake up tomorrow morning. Are we going today? So after a while you learn, you tell them like a week before. Next week we're going to Disney, right? Oh, are we going to that? No, it's still, six more sleeps. And then, I promise you we're going. Are we going today? No, tomorrow. And then there comes a day where you go, remember what I promised? Yeah, today. Go pack your bags. Bring your bag down. We're going. That's exactly what God was saying to Moses. I promised you. Tell them. Pack your bags. Get ready. Plunder the Egyptians on the way out. Get ready. I'm going to take you to the promise. And so we looked at it a little bit, very briefly, but just the scriptures in Deuteronomy. I'm just going to put them up there. But this is just the scriptures in Deuteronomy where God reminds his people, remember, I promised you. Remember, I swore this to you. I told you I was going to do this. I promised. I said I'll do this. I'm going to do this for you. That's just in Deuteronomy. This is what the Lord's hand and the Lord's heart towards his promise. God never forgets his promise. He's not playing games with you. He's not a tease. When he makes his vow, when he makes a promise, God holds himself to that. He binds himself as a covenant partner to any promise he made to you in any covenant. And so in Christ, all the promises of God, no matter what promise to whatever person in whatever covenant, has become yes to you because you're in Christ. So you have the right to lay claim of any promise. We'll get to that. Maybe that's for the next sermon, because that one. God never forgets a promise, and his Spirit will remind you, according to Jesus. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will remind you of everything I said. But he loves it when you remember a promise that he's made and you use it against circumstances that are bleak. It's a demonstration of faith in the face of the enemy's best. You walk into a situation and it looks bleak and you go, yeah, but you know what? God said this. The enemy, like, are you not taking my well-crafted drama seriously? No. No. Because I'm taking the promise of my father seriously. And this is what the scripture says about Sarah. It says she considered faithful the one who made the promise. Long since Sarah's womb has not been ready to have children. Long ago. She went through the change of life 40 years ago. And God said, you're going to have a child next year. And she said, you know, the one who made the promise is faithful. And because she believed in the promise, she walked in the inheritance. Promises are currency. Your promises that God gave you speak to your destiny. And they pre-authorize God's yes in that direction. Excuse me, I just preached myself happy. God, when he gives you a promise, is talking to you about your destiny. And his promise is a pre-authorization for any step you take in that direction for provision. This means you can step out in the direction of what God promised you and say, this is mine. I want it now. I'm requiring the provision. I'm demanding the circumstances change. I'm going in this direction. Why? Because I have a promise from God. But you're not seeing anything. I don't care. I have a promise from God. It's my currency. And it points to my calling. And it carries the authority for the necessary provisions to get me where they're pointing me. When I was in the military, I was in charge of some exercises, military exercises. I was in the artillery and get a whole bunch of, there's a whole group of people. You organize the whole event, provisions and projectiles and trucks and everything had to be requisitioned. And if they gave you, they said, listen, you organize this, run a 2-week, you know, training exercise. I'd go down to the quartermaster and say, I want food for 500 men for 2 weeks. I want it delivered here. I'd go down to where the trucks are. I need 47 trucks and 27 of these, and I need this, and get them ready. By what authority do you? Well, I've been given the responsibility to see that this works. I need this requisition by this time. When God gives you a promise, this is who you call to be. It's the same power. Promises are currency. You walk down and say, right, I'm called to be a leader and a commander, and this is what I need. I need this, and I need this, and I want this, and I need it by then. If promises are currency, like I say, then I want to ask you a question. How well are you managing your currency? Can you name me 5 promises God's made you right there while you're sitting? Imagine you pass on and you're a messy. And people come into your house and they have no idea about your... Then they go through your study and there's just mush and papers everywhere. There's no filing system. There's no system, apparently. There's just paper. Every drawer you open is a pile of papers, and you're sifting through. What? What? You may have 3 policies and shares over here, but if you don't have them organized, your kids may just throw something away that's valuable. Like, they don't know. Some people who treat the promises as currency, you go, what's they got a file to open up? This is the word of the Lord. They have journals. They have prayer journals. They have things that they've been praying. Because when you begin to manage your currency, you begin to think about it. You begin to pray through them. You begin to fight in line with the prophecies once made about you. This becomes a currency that you manage. And if you manage it well, you perform beautifully. Secondly, are you living up to the calling? I've discovered that the Lord gave me some promises, because this is who I'm calling you to be. This is who you are. And then I act, after receiving the promise, I act less than the promise. And the Lord kind of goes, hey, son, come on now. Remember we talked about this. I called you here. You're living here. What's this? And what resources, thirdly, can this currency buy? What resources do you need? I love Jenny's testimony. They started missional. They went on mission. They said, let's reach our neighbors. What resources do you need? Lord, we need some signs. We need some miracles. We need some breakthroughs. Okay. Secondly, problems are signposts. Promises are currency. Problems are signposts. You know, it strikes me when they come to the Red Sea, I'm going to put up some charts here. When Israel comes to the Red Sea, they said, God wants to kill us. And what God actually wanted to do was to destroy the slave masters, to remove them forever from the threat that the slave masters would come back and put them back under slavery, to destroy the greatest army in the then known world, to demonstrate to his people his glory, and to create an event that for millennia, for thousands of years, people are going to be talking about. That was God's agenda for the day. What they said was, he wants to kill us. They had a problem. They didn't understand that the problem was just pointing to the Lord. The only people who understood that was Moses. Every time there's a problem, the people scream at Moses. Moses falls on his face and he says, Lord, what's going on? The Lord says, this is what I want you to do. He goes, okay. Boom. Problems are signposts. At Marah, the bitter waters, they grumbled. And what God wanted to do was to prove to them that he can make the most bitter place sweet. That's what he wanted to show them. He's trying to reveal himself to them. It's not because God's a sadist that he took them to water and when they tasted it was too bitter to drink. God was trying to, it's a signpost. Who is God trying to show me that he is? I'm the God who can make sweet, sweet things out of the most bitter places of your life. That's the point of the bitter waters. And if you understand that a problem is a signpost, it helps you point to the Lord. What's God's plan? Who is he trying to reveal himself to me as? What is the upgrade he's asking me to have? If you understand a problem is a signpost, it'll help you. In the desert of sin, they were hungry. They said, he wants to kill us here. What God actually wanted to do was to rain down the bread of angels. With a whole generation, he shared heaven's food. Gluten-free, carb-free. Rephidim, there's no water. You brought us to die. He wanted to show them that I can, out of a rock, out of a hard place, I can bring more than ample supply. The second visit to Rephidim, they said, we want to die. What God wanted to reveal was his holiness and his power to the whole world. At Mount Hor, he wanted to show them his compassion. You guys are not ready for this fight, so let me take you around. We don't have to fight now. At Horeb, what he wanted to show them was, I can kill giants for you and give you the giant's inheritance. And they said, it's because the Lord hates us, he wants to destroy us. And they said, our children are going to die here, and they're going to fall by the sword, and our children are going to be slaves. And so God said, okay, you know what? on those children that you said are going to die, I'm just going to take compassion. And those kids that you said were going to be slaves are actually going to be the masters. They're going to own this land. But you guys. In Deuteronomy 1, but you were unwilling to go up. This is Moses thinking back just before they're about to go in, that generation. He's reminding them of the story. You were unwilling to go up against the command of the Lord your God, and you grumbled in your tents, and you said, the Lord hates us, so he brought us out of Egypt to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us. And your brothers made your hearts melt with fear. And then I said to you, do not be terrified, do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God, who is going before you, will fight for you as he did for you in Egypt before your very eyes. And I love this piece. There you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son. All the way you went until you reached this place. 6 o'clock on Disney Day morning. Your six-year-old is bouncing up and down. Trying to get some breakfast into them is a mission because they don't want to sit still. 6 o'clock that evening, Dad is carrying them. And they're exhausted and crying at the drop of a hat. God said to Israel, Moses said, you know, you yourself saw how God carried you like a father carries his son. You all, woo, woo, woo. And he picked you up and he carried you. That's who God was. I love that picture. Like a father carries the son that he delights in. It's okay, boy. Maybe it's time we got home. When we gather our minds, we'll understand that the Lord is not out to get us, but he's out to bless us. You find that out yet? Greg, you don't understand my problems. Yeah, but your problems are signposts. It's the point of the problem. It's a signpost. When you hit the problem, you go, what is God's plan? Because it's certainly not this. Why did God bring me here? What's his plan? Who does he want to reveal? What does he want to reveal about himself to me? This is who I am. What's my upgrade? That's what the problem is. It's just a signpost to ask those three questions. When we face a problem, it has a designed purpose to point us to God's glory and greatness. And looking to him makes all the difference. And if problems are signposts, then let me ask you these three questions. Number one, who is God revealing himself as in these circumstances? So you get a problem, God wants to reveal himself to you in something that you don't yet know. Here's the beauty of it. Once he reveals himself to you, you go, that's who you are. See, Abraham is about to kill his son, and God says, stop. Why don't you take the ram that's behind you in the thicket? And he turns around, and there's a ram. That ram's been there the whole time. God sent that ram up a couple of days ago. That is a prior provision of God. Abraham just walked into it. He just became aware. Oh, wow, there's the prior provision of God. And God reveals himself to Abraham there as Jehovah Jireh, Yahweh Jireh, the God who has gone ahead of you to make provision. Now, when you get that by revelation and you see that's who my father is, it'll take away the fear from you. Next time you come up to a place and there's a problem of provision, you go, Jehovah Jireh, where's the provision? You hid here somewhere. Everyone else is going, we're gonna die. And you're going, no, this is somewhere here. Number two, what is his dream and plan? I promise you, God has a dream and a plan for you in the current set of circumstances. He's not gonna take you around the problem. He's going to take you through the problem. When I'm not guaranteeing you won't have problems, I'm guaranteeing you that in the problem, if you look to him, he is going to show you, hey, let me tell you what I actually dreamed here. Actually, I want to break the mindset of slavery forever. I want in front of my people's eyes, I want them to watch the most dangerous army in the world be destroyed at just when I snap my fingers. I want them to stand there and see the salvation that I bring them. I want them to know deliberately that I am for them and that my promise is true and I will never back down. I want them to see it with their own eyes. So I'm going to bring their enemies close enough for them to stand on the river, on the side of the sea and watch the destruction of their enemies. What they saw is God wants to kill us now. God said, no, I want to demonstrate something to you. Number three, what is the upgrade that he has planned for me? I've heard more no's in prayer from the Lord because what I asked was too small. I've never heard a no from the Lord because what I asked was too big. Oh, you know, God can say no. Yeah, most of the no's I've heard from the Lord, he goes, no, I'm not answering that prayer. It's too small. It's insulting. It's too small for you. I won't have it. I'm not standing for that in your life. No, it's not enough. So there is an upgrade God has planned for you. Promise you. I promise you. There's an upgrade God has planned for you right now. And if you're not getting it, he sends a problem. Why? Because it's a signpost. Upgrades this way. Number three. Are you still with me?
Yes.
Provisions are anchors. Provisions are anchors. When God provides something, when there's a breakthrough in your life, it's like, you know, rock climbers, when they're climbing a rock face, they have anchors. They put something in a crevice. It's a pinion that they build in, and it's an anchor. It holds. And they put a rope through that, and they put weight on it. So now you've achieved this height. You anchor it. You put a rope through. And if anybody falls, they only fall a little short distance, and the anchor holds. You go, well, here's the high water mark, as it were. Here's where you've achieved. Now climb back up. This is going to hold you. Climb back up. Here we go. And you move further, you anchor that. And every time God makes a provision in your life, it's an anchor for you. Because God, once he's done something for you, doesn't want you to drop back down to, you don't have to start at the beginning every time. There's a high water mark, and that becomes the platform. And from that place on, you move forward. And so whenever God's brought a provision, whenever there's been a breakthrough, it's an anchor for you. It is now the new normal for you, that place. When God has taken you somewhere in the kingdom, you do not have to earn that space again. The way has been made and it stands as an open invitation for you. If you've had an encounter, if you've functioned in gifts, if you've had experiences or revelations or breakthroughs, you can go back there anytime and God means for you to live there. Give you an example. We were just traveling now. I was on the way, I was just praying. The Lord reminded me that three times in my life, when I've been to churches, he's spoken to me and said, this is what I'm doing in this church. And as a sign of that spiritual thing that I'm doing, I want to bring these physical healings. And so I remember I was up in Ohio. That happened. It was in a meeting, about 60 people. The Lord said to me, I'm bringing alignment to this group of people. And as a demonstration that I'm going to heal people whose toes have broken, who have broken toes and the toes have not healed. And there's only 60 people in the room. And, you know, I'm going, this is how I know it's come out of my spirit, not out of my mind, because my mind's rebelling. My mind's going, there's no one in there. I mean, you're going to stand up here in front of these people, you're going to look like an idiot, they're going to go, nothing else you say is going to matter. My spirit goes, this is what's going on. So I say, I believe the Lord wants to heal people who have broken toes. Is there anybody here who has had a broken toe and it hasn't healed for more than 3 months? 7 people in the meeting stand. More than 10% of the people in the meeting. 3 of them got healed instantly, right there. So we're flying now. The Lord reminds me of that. I go, yeah. I've reached that place in God. I've been able to hear that. I've functioned in that. We go to the next church. I go, this is what the Lord is saying. The Lord wants to put the thumbs of the business people in this church on top. No one is going to subject you to tribute. Your thumb is going to be over it all. That's the word of the Lord to the church. And to demonstrate that, the Lord's going to heal people with sore thumbs. And while I'm talking to the Lord about my head, I go, oh, how many people can there be like that? And the Lord says, 6. So I say, boom, 6, also 70 people in the room, 6 people stand with sore thumbs. Instant healings breaking out. See, once you've tasted something, once you've been somewhere in the kingdom, that's yours to function in. The problem is, if you don't understand that this provision is an anchor, you'll drop back down the mountain. But if you understand your provision is an anchor, some of you have had encounters in God. Some of you experienced things with the Holy Spirit. That is yours. You can go back there anytime. And God doesn't want, that's not the high water mark of your life. That's the high water mark up to now. But you can access that level at any time. If you have a testimony, you can access that at any time, right now. You don't have to pay us another thing for it. You can stand on that one, reach up, put another anchor. Phew, I feel like you guys are not getting this somehow. Because if you're getting this, you'd be a lot more excited about this. Because God has some things for this church. There are some places you've been in God, and some of you are thinking, oh, you know, I used to be a spiritual giant, but now I'm not so much anymore. That's no longer mine. I hear it all the time. I used to do this, but I don't have access to that anymore. Nonsense. When God provides you with a truth or an experience or an understanding or an encounter, it's designed not only to take you to a new height, but to anchor you there at that higher level place. Like rock climbers who attach anchors and bolts, God will give you moments of experience, mountaintop experiences, which are anchors, and you can put weight on them. You go, oh, but Greg, oh, didn't they warn you, you shouldn't put spiritual weight on experiences? Tell that to the early church who was started at Pentecost. Oh, don't you dare put spiritual weight on that experience. You go, oh, watch out for experiences. No. There are going to be moments in God that God uses to drive a pin into the rock face that'll hold you. And you can put weight on that. You still want to put all your weight on that. When you're climbing, I'm not a rock climber professional, but when you're climbing a rock, you have more than one anchor. You put them up so that the weight is evenly distributed. Most of all, God wants to give you anchors so you don't fall down to a lower level. It's an anchor from which you ascend, not descend. If provisions are anchors, then I want to ask you, which anchors do you need to carry weight right now? Maybe there was a season in your life that when you had a sweet, sweet fellowship with the Spirit of God and the Word of God was just open to you and you were hearing God's voice, and there were moments when you were in prayer, it's like the tangible presence of God used to come down with you. When husband and wife were praying, it was like God showed up and you... And you go, Lord, that one, I want that back now. I need that. I've been praying about that this week. There was a season in my life where a friend of mine would pray. We'd pray together. It was like there were three of us in the room. God would come down. I've been jealous for that again. I go, Lord, give me that again. I want that. I've lived there. It's been one of my rocks. I'm just climbing back up to that position. I want that. What ground do you need to reclaim? Some people sitting in this room now, as I've been speaking, you know, as I've been preaching, you go, yeah, that's true. I used to be there. Just don't buy the lie. Please don't buy the lie. It's not hard to get back there. It's just a choice. Number three, what heights is God calling me to achieve? Let me close it with this. Promises are currency. If you're clear about them, you can spend them. The neat thing about God's promises is they're eternal. It's not like you spend them and then they're nothing. You spend and it still holds its value. Spend, still got value when you're finished. Promises are currency because they're backed by the eternal living God. And as long as He lives, they have power. Which means they're eternally powerful. God loves it. He loves it. I promise you, He loves it. When you come and say, Dad, you said, this is my promise. I'm requisitioning the necessary provision for the promise. Problems are signposts. If you'll understand a problem is a signpost, it'll help you. It'll help you. You won't get stuck in the mud. It's unavoidable. You and I will face problems. Unavoidable. If you live on this planet, unavoidable. I don't care who you are. I don't care how well you think you're prepared. I don't care how, what fortress you think you've built around yourself. Problems will find you out. Because they have a particular design to point you to the Lord. And provisions are anchors. Now, in order to help you with this, I drew up a little one-page, three-block provision. It's got these three on, and it's going to be available when you go onto the website. It'll be available up with the notes for today's sermon. Some people may find this useful, some people may not, but I would like to suggest, that's the whole point of the sermon, try this at home. If you're up for it, go and download that. And I've just given you five of each. I mean, you don't have to do five, but I've said they're managing his promises to me. What are the five promises that you remember? What are you called to? So if you read the promise, it says this. What does that imply about what I'm called to? Just write that down. What resources do you need to see that promise fulfilled? That'll help your prayer life. Problems are signposts. It's a great one. Write the problem down. Who is God revealing himself to be in this problem? What is his plan right now? Some of you got problems in your life. You go, I don't know why I'm facing this problem. Well, go and ask. It's the whole point. It's going to point you. Like, what's the plan, God? It looks like the Egyptians are going to destroy us and we're going to be wiped off the face of the earth. What is your plan? It goes, no, stand still. You're going to see my salvation today. Today, I'm going to rid you of those Egyptians. It's exactly what the Lord told Moses when he asked. What's your plan, God? He goes, I'm going to destroy them today in front of your eyes. You don't have to do a single thing. Just relax. Lift up your hand and watch. Provisions are anchors. Which anchors need to carry weight right now? What ground can I reclaim, and what heights can I achieve? Some of you will find that useful. If you download it, take a little time, write it out, take it to the Lord in prayer. If you'll get there, I think what will happen is it'll alter the way you view promises, problems, and provisions. You'll see them from a kingdom's perspective. Change the way you respond to them. Stirs faith in you to lay hold and take the next step on. And that's what I'm praying for you. Won't you pray with me, please? Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your promises, which are currency. Thank you for problems, Lord, which are signposts that point to you. Thank you, Lord, for past provisions. They're the anchors for our souls. And we ask, Lord, I pray this week, Lord, that supernaturally you would begin to break open people's hearts and minds. I pray, Lord, a break with unbelief. I cut it off, but I pray, Lord, full of the Spirit and full of faith would become our epitaph. People begin to say, those people, full of the Spirit, full of faith. And that, Father, you would find in us hearts and minds eager, ready to step out when you speak. And that, Father, we would begin to see quantum steps forward, momentum in the kingdom, Lord. Not just a little bit here and a little bit there, but that we'd be able to function, Lord, in a supernatural way. And we trust you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Amen.